to episode 5 of We the Meeple. Let's just jump right into it. First off, my name is Corey, and I'm your host, and we have our two co-hosts, as always. We have Cody.
Welcome.
Welcome. And we have Joseph.
I'm sick of this pandemic.
That was a good one. Wow. Yeah, I like that one. That was the best one you've done.
Pandemic.
The other ones were gutter trash. After you.
What was wrong with the other ones?
Oh, I mean, they were fine. And like, it's, you know, you trashed pandemic last month. So I don't know. I don't really know if you should be bringing it up again.
I hate all pandemic. Everything that has to do with pandemic, anything.
That's mostly fair. Yeah, so episode 5 of We the Meeple, again, thank you everyone for listening and contributing and just being there for us. We enjoy doing this and we're going to keep doing it. And now we're going to jump into our first segment, which is One Good Thing, where we talk about one good thing in the board game community or slightly adjacent, as Cody and Joey will probably hit you with. But I'll go first real quick if you guys are good with that.
Go for it.
Okay, so you know, us three right here have always been playing board games together. That's been our group nonstop. We've never had a reason to buy two-player games. I play with my wife from time to time. We've never actually played two-player games until I bought Mr. Jack. And I just want to say I think the game is fantastic. I had a really good time with it. And now I'm looking forward to buying more and more two-player games. I have Watergate, but I think that might be the only two. So if anyone has suggestions on two-player games, I'm all ears because I'm ready for them. Go on.
Isn't Raptor supposed to be a good two-player game?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Tell me about your experience with that game and how you enjoyed it.
I've just heard it.
Joe, you were the one who told me
it was a good two-player game.
Convince me to buy it because you're a board game addict.
Go ahead, Joseph.
Okay, so my one good thing is I just got married, and my wife, unlike your wife, is not that huge of a board game fan, so I will not be buying more two-player games, but what I will be buying is maybe more one-player games, and I think Robinson Crusoe, I've been talking about this one for a while, I think that's a one-player game, and I should be able to save more money instead of towards the wedding, maybe towards more board games. So that might be one of my first buys. Robinson Crusoe. I think that's a one-player game, right?
Let's get this straight. Joey's been saving money for 6 years, and me and Cody have had to, you know, fund our board game collection. So as soon as you get money, Joey, you're going to start buying solo games. Did I get that right?
Okay, I'm just going to say
starting off
probably
great.
More games than Cody.
Cody, please. This is going swimmingly. Code, one good
okay.
thing.
Okay, I came this up with a great one good today. Thing. I'm super excited for this announcement. The He's Jurassic kidding. Park Legacy game. I'm really excited for this game. I love dinosaurs, and I do really like Legacy games as well with the changing world and everything, so I feel like this game's going to be really awesome. So,
did you hear any news about that, or like, how is it going to be?
I don't know. I know it's made by Funko, right? I believe. Mm-hmm. So Funko Games. I don't know really much about it. I think it comes out next year.
Is it like trying to survive against dinosaurs or maybe building up the park? What do you think?
No clue. I think they just announced it kind of. And that was basically all they gave right now. I haven't looked it up in a little bit, a week or so.
Definitely sounds like our wheelhouse though, for sure.
Yeah, definitely mine.
I'm also pretty excited about that one. I love Legacy, so I'll be down to play it.
Yeah.
Sweet.
All right, guys. That was one good thing. Now we're jumping right into our Wheel of Destiny discussion. Last month, we spun the wheel, and we landed on co-op games. Everyone's favorite. Mine, yours, Cody's. Yeah, everyone's favorite. Let's talk about it. And to start the discussion, guys, what's your favorite co-op game?
Do you want me to start?
Sure.
Favorite co-op game, Gloomhaven, easily. I feel like that gives a lot of strategy towards it. Everyone has to play well on the team to win, but I'm not talking about Gloomhaven. Co-op games in general, I kind of have a love-hate relationship with it. I feel like we played some really good co-op games, and then I feel like we played some really bad co-op games. I'm not the biggest fan of the co-op games because we're all so competitive. We all like to win. And when you win as a co-op team, it doesn't feel so much like a win. And same thing, I guess, when you lose, you're like, eh, whatever. So to me, co-op games are eh. I think it's probably one of our least favorite genres, I guess, or whatever you would call it, that we play. So I'm not the biggest fan of co-op, but you guys might feel different.
Go ahead, Joe. Follow that up.
Yeah, I would agree. I think Gloomhaven's probably my favorite co-op game. The problem is, I don't know if we just haven't played enough or we just don't like the genre. Mm-hmm. Because I can name three or four games where it's just like, man, this just isn't it. It's just not the game that I want to play. And that's pretty much all I got to say about co-op. It's just not the genre for us, I think.
That's a great point, because as you buy a certain genre of game, you like to give it like one chance, you know, and if it doesn't hit, it's like, you know, and I feel like we've given this co-op games a couple chances at this point. And Code, you had mentioned like maybe it's just not our cup of tea. You know, we're very competitive. I feel like a lot of times with co-op games, it's almost like a certain move that you know you have to do. So it's not like there's no variety to it almost. You know, it's like, okay, we see the board, we see what we have to do, and it's just obvious. You know, this is the move we're going to do. And everyone knows it. And usually it's like, instead of playing a co-op game, we could just play a solo game, you know, because you see it, I see it. I don't know. And like for favorite co-op game, yeah, Code, you said we had a lot of good experiences with them. I don't know. I'm looking around my board game room right now where we have pretty much 90% of our board games that we play. I don't see too many. So like, what were you referring to? Or was it just, it'd be nice?
No, I was referring to Gloomhaven. I mean, it's my favorite game for a reason. So I feel like those were real good experiences. I mean, the game we are going to talk about later, Spirit Island, I feel like we all had a good experience with that when we played it. I felt like that was a real co-op game. Like we talked about Pandemic, I think it was last week, where it just felt so obvious what to do. Like one person could have played the game. Spirit Island, I feel like, was the opposite. We all wanted to do something different. And I feel like we discussed a lot during the whole game. So that's, to me, that's what you want in a co-op game, is you want discussion. You want, you know, different options that the teams can choose. And, you know, there's like, I don't want to be like, yeah, this is right. And then everyone be like, yeah, this, like, I want, you know, like people to say, I think this is the best way. And then I'd be like, no, this is the best way. And then we come to an agreement and see if it works out. I feel like most of our co-op games that we played haven't done that. But the ones like Gloomhaven, I feel like where it's a card game. So, you know, you got to help your team while trying to protect yourself the whole time. So to me, that's what I like in a co-op game. Just you're kind of doing your own thing, but you're helping the team. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know it sounds weird, but like Pandemic was, you're just, everyone knows the right move. And that's basically the bottom line to it. So,
yeah, like, that's the problem with me and co-op games. It's, we've had two like pretty good experiences, and then just the rest has just been so like almost bad that it's just like, man, I don't even know if I want to even like continue. It's not like it's been like, oh, okay, it's good and then decent. It's been, it's good and then it's just terrible. So it's like, man, do I really want to keep diving into these, or do I just want to maybe play Gloomhaven and Spirit Island, and that's it?
You're going to buy a game and then it's 50-50 whether or not you're going to like it or you're going to hate it, which most of the genre games we buy, you know, if we buy it, we tend to know we're going to like it, you know, and then if we don't like it, then it's kind of more of a shock thing, like, man, this game just didn't live up to the expectations, you know. Co-op is different. It's either you hate, like you said, you hate or love it. So
yeah, I guess I haven't had much of an issue like with you guys in terms of Pandemic. You know, I know Code, you don't mind Pandemic, right?
I mean,
you're not a fan of it then?
Joe, I don't really
like it. I've played it outside of you guys. You know, I've played it with Lindsay a couple times, and I like Pandemic. You know, I think I like it better as a two-player game, though. You know, I just mentioned two-player games. Pandemic is a four-player game, but the times when we played it two, it felt like we were both able to have enough input where we felt like we were contributing. You know, like, yeah, maybe the moves are kind of obvious, but, you know, we saw it together. I feel like as a four-player game, it's like one person's definitely not really getting their thoughts out there as much. Like I said, as I'm looking around the room, there's a couple co-op games that I've enjoyed that I've recently got, you know, within the last 2 years. The Crew, do you guys remember that one? I know you guys didn't play it too much with me, but that was that trick-taking game.
No clue.
Yeah. The Mind.
Yeah, The Mind is good, you know, because you can't.
You know what? Actually, now that you're kind of mentioning it, I'm thinking of a couple just kind of two-players game that I play with my wife. Mm-hmm. And Sherlock, that's like the detective one. That one's, I don't even know if you would really consider that a board game, but that one, I enjoyed that one. That's definitely a team game. And then some of just the crime ones that I played,
mm-hmm.
where I've actually enjoyed those. I think once you start getting to like three or four players, then it's kind of tough because it's like, I don't know. It's just one of those things. I don't know.
Well, I know you like Mysterium. That's kind of like a co-op game in a sense.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. So I mean,
that is a co-op because there's no traitor, there's no like bad guy. You know, it's everyone. There's different roles, but that's fine, I would say.
I'm guessing going more thinking and more research on the games we have that are actually co-op. I actually kind of enjoy co-op games.
We change his mind in about 5 minutes.
I think Pandemic for you guys has really spoiled it for you.
I think that's what it is. I think it's just Pandemic and what was that game we just talked about last month? The zombie one.
Dead of Winter.
I think those two were just that bad that it's just like that spoils it for me.
Let me throw it out there. They're not bad. They're both considered.
They're bad to me. Yeah. Like they're just that bad to me that I'm turned off by it.
And like I said, I think what happened with Pandemic is it was like the first co-op, you know, and it didn't really have ground rules to look at, other games to follow and say, hey, this is what we should improve on. You know, they made a very good game. It is a good game. You know, if you play that game solo, Joe, if you played that solo, I bet you'd like it a lot more, you know, because it's just like, okay, I have all these decisions to make. I have these areas to go to. I need to figure out what's my best strategy. And, you know, like I said, with four people, it's not so good. But, I don't mind co-op as much as I thought. You know, like I said, Joe, you said The Mind was real good.
Mm-hmm.
For that one, there is, you know, the problem that, you know, the board game community calls it is quarterbacking. You know, you have one guy that takes over and they lead and everyone else is sitting by the wayside. Pandemic has that.
And I just felt when in Pandemic, it was just like, I was just so turned, like, I was just out of it. I was not even I was literally letting you guys just take it over. Because it's like, what can I say that'll make, even I don't believe, I wouldn't believe something that if I went against you guys, you know what I mean? I wouldn't believe it.
Right.
But there are games like Gloomhaven and Spirit Island that we're going to talk about later that, you know what, my way might be better than you guys. And you know what, you might not be able to sway me from my thinking. Another thing is, what about like team versus team? Would that be considered like co-op?
I think it's team. I think that'd be like,
it's just all team.
Which is like such a small genre of games, you know. Are you thinking of like Captain Sonar?
Yeah, like I think that's kind of like that's. I think those type of games. Or you have like code names
or something.
Yeah,
like we got a lot of team versus team games. We got the crypto.
I kind of enjoy those games.
I don't consider that co-op, but The Mind. You don't have a quarterbacking issue because no one can talk. Yeah. The Crew. I feel like you could give a little bit of information, but not a lot. Maybe you didn't play this one. I thought you did, but you know, it's a trick-taking game. You've played trick-taking games before, Code, right? Like spades.
Mm-hmm.
And they give you missions. So what you have to do is you have to take certain players have to say take certain tricks. So
I played this one. I think I played it with Mom.
Yeah, I think we just played Cody one played game it. Together. Yeah, so I do really enjoy that one. And then I got a really big one for Christmas. I got Mechs vs. Minions. And neither of you two have played it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I played that one like four times with Lindsay. And that's pretty good. You know, it's almost like where, hey, these are the right decisions. But you're able to make your own decisions because you're both kind of going to your own zone of the board. Because so many people, so many minions are coming to attack like your area that you can't really worry about the other person. It's not a real-time based game, but still, it's like, okay, I've got to focus up top, so I'm going to worry about what I got to do. And the other person's worrying about their area. So that really works well. You know, you should play it next time we have a chance, because it's a really good game. So,
yeah, I would just finish off with co-op games definitely need that little argument and that little social interaction to the game to make it to make it better, because when you got, like you said, the quarterback an issue, and it's just like you get really turned off by the game, and it's just like, I don't know.
But, so
I mean, I guess I kind of changed my mind. There's a lot of co-op games where, like, man, I do actually enjoy them. So I think what I said at the beginning was there's some good games that I like, and then there's just like two really bad games, and then maybe three that I might mention later.
Ooh.
In the podium.
Really?
A little tidbit. Not that I didn't hate this. I'll just let you later. I have a little story about it.
Code, what do you got to say about co-op?
I think that's about it. I think we've all gotten our points across. It's not my first pick if we were to choose a game, but it's hard to say because, like I said, my favorite game of all time is a co-op game. So, you know, I guess you never know where you're going to find the gem. And I guess if a game sounds interesting, just buy it, and then you never know. It could be a hit. So,
you guys aren't against co-ops in the future. Like I said, we just played Spirit Island. We'll give our take on that.
No, I'm not against co-op games. It's just they're either fun or they're kind of unplayable in my mind, which isn't a good thing. So
yeah, it's fine line for sure. It's tough.
I mean, we got certain genres that we really like, and we know if we buy a game from that genre, it'll be, you know, really fun for us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And co-op is a little bit hit or miss, but I like I said, I generally like them. There's a few I can think of. I think I will have a podium game later where I was very disappointed about, but yeah, it's a little bit shorter of a discussion topic, I guess, but you know, we really don't have too much to say about co-op. We like beating each other in board games. You know, we really get fueled by like being better than each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's really hard to gloat against the computer. I think that's the big key.
It's even harder to gloat when they're kicking your butt. So
yeah, no gloating for that one. But yeah, that is the Wheel of Destiny discussion for this month. A little bit shorter, but you know, if you have any co-op games that you recommend, let us know on BGG. And now, Code, do you want to take the next segment?
What's the next segment?
He don't even know what the next segment is.
God.
Dun-dun. And now we return to the Meeples Court with Honorable Judge Cody Butlicker.
Welcome. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
All right. So for our court, we got Sir Corey. You have an opening statement.
Sir Corey.
I'm trying to be Corey.
What am I?
I'm trying
this
to
is
be
the worst
a,
judge of
do
all
they
time.
Even, do they even know what Meeples Court is? I told you to, you know, like we discussed, there's two lawyers. You're the judge. We discuss what game they should add.
Yes,
to the collection.
I know.
They're
just,
both pretty similar.
I'm asking you basically, how are you doing today? How's it going?
Oh, I'm doing fine.
Okay. You already got a check mark bad. Joseph
mark
and Sir means. Joseph.
Sir Joseph,
welcome to the court.
I'm doing great, Judge. Welcome to Meeples Court. I'm ready to get it on.
Okay. Representing Corey, which game are you representing?
I'm representing Kemet.
Kemet.
This is the worst judge of all time.
Preparation matters, Code.
I am representing Cyclades. The better game.
The better game. Okay, we'll let Cyclades have the floor. Joseph?
Cyclades is a game where we try to control areas and win the game by racing to be the first one to build two cities. Cyclades is a city-building type game with fighting in it. And the best part is you build your city, troops, and ports all by asking favors from the gods. And this is where the best part of the game comes. You are bidding on Greek gods in the game. Each player will try to outbid their opponents by paying money to the Greek god they want for that turn. Every Greek god is different, and they possess different powers to help you for that turn. This can be a fighting game, but I feel that its shining moment is the bidding part of the game. Unlike Kemet, where it is mostly war-based, which I feel like Kemet is mostly war-based, Cyclades is also a battle-type game, and it's very tense argument and just waiting to happen for that. Sorry, I'm reading off something.
Okay, I was going to say, you complain about me not being prepared. We got plagiarism over here.
Listen, you just ruined my joke. I was going to mention how good of a Wikipedia entry it was. Thank you for reading that Wikipedia entry,
Okay, did we hear Joey, Corey?
Yes, I'd like to mention.
One of the worst opening statements I've ever
heard. One of the worst I've ever heard.
And this clown beat me in an argument earlier.
So the reason we did Kemet and Cichlid is because on face value, they don't seem that much alike, but they are made by the same company, and it's in like a trilogy of games. So what can I say about Kemet? First off, I think it has an amazing theme. Greek gods are really cool, but Egyptian gods are done less, and they're just as cool. Really cool setting for a game. And you had mentioned it's just fighting.
Name two Egyptian gods.
Kemet and Seth.
Yeah. Seth. I don't know who Seth is. And I disagree with you. I believe Greek gods are better.
But it's still a very cool theme. So, and Joe, you had mentioned Kemet is fighting.
Yeah, it's mostly war-based.
You undersell it a little bit. It's pretty much all fighting. And it does fighting as well as any game on the market. This is a dudes on the map type game. So dudes on the map, you think of Risk. Now, Risk is a game we all grew up on and we loved with a lot of flaws. Kemet does not have those flaws. It is not a three-hour game. No matter how long this game is going, it's ending at an hour. You know, you're always going to get to that crescendo where it's an hour long or an hour and 15 and then it ends because of the system where it encourages you to battle. You're not trying to keep your defenses piled up and waiting for people. No, they want you to battle because that's how you win the game. The actual combat itself is really good. You can't have huge, huge armies. I think you can have five at most, and you supplement it with cards. And everybody around the table has these same cards, but you don't know which one they're picking because you do them face down. You also have these bonus cards, red powers, blue powers, white powers, and you buy those, and you can supplement your armies that way, or you can supplement your defenses, or you can just get general abilities in the match. Now, this is running a little long for an opening statement, but I just want to say Cichlides is a very fine game. I love it. It's one of my top 25. It is not the best in anything it does. It's a fine bitty game. It's a very good, you know, area control game, a building game. I know it's not a building game, but you're building stuff. It's not the best. Kemet is bar none the best dudes on the map game. It's the best of its genre. Thank you.
Hello and welcome to
All right, the people. Joseph, have any counter argument or are you just surrendering?
I'm not surrendering. I'm just trying to think of. I just feel like I know you think that Kemet's just like one of the best dudes on the map type of game. I was not a huge fan of the battling type
in Name the one game. Better.
Blood Rage. I think Blood Rage is a little better in that area.
Rage takes guys, the number of guys you have, and you supplement it with cards.
Yeah, but I didn't like the way Kemet did it. I don't know. I just something about Kemet. And it's just like, even if it's war based, but I just felt like some of the time it wasn't. You never had like a surprise almost. It was always like, oh, my army's really small. This guy's going to kill me. It's never like, it was never like Risk where you never know what's going to happen in Risk. Risk, you can win on a dice roll. You never know. I just felt like in Kemet that just never.
I vehemently disagree with that. Also, as I'm thinking of points here, I want to mention that another good thing that Kemet does that no other war game is, not a war game, but dudes on the map game, as far as I know, does is you're never more than two spots away from anybody. So there's never a person that's just on the other side of the map that's gaining power as you're defenseless to stop them. That happens in Risk, where some guy is just rolling over everyone and they're gaining abilities while you're on the other side of the map and you can't really reach them. Kemet has the obelisk that lets you travel. And like I said, you're never more than two spots away from anyone. So you can always, like you said, there's not surprises. Yes, maybe when you go five against two, you know you're going to win. But you don't know if that five person is going to attack you because suddenly they're all the way on the other side and now they're on your front doorstep.
All right, we're going to final statements.
Final statements?
Final statements.
Cichlides was very prepared, apparently.
I was letting Joey get a little counter argument. I got a lot more I can say about Canada because this game is fantastic. All right,
well, your final statements then.
Do you want me to go first?
Yes, we can give Cichlides time.
Okay, so yeah, he needs the time to think about what he wants to say. Talk about not coming prepared. So, Kemet, I think it's the best dudes on the map game. Combat's good. It's fair. It's not just about the numbers and who has the higher numbers. You have cards. And you can play mind games with those cards because there's very strong cards that just add to your total. There's some cards that just wipe out the opponents. And no matter what you do, that opponent has to think because they don't know what cards you discarded. The miniatures are very solid. Maybe not the very small guys, but the monsters in it are very cool. They're very unique. You have scorpions. You have phoenixes. You have mummies. All very good. The pyramid system, I think, is an excellent way to determine what power-ups you can buy. You get three different colored pyramids, and as you raise them, that's what level of power you can buy. So when you have a red one, you can only buy the level one powers. It goes all the way up to four. That's awesome. I love that. What else was I going to say? The actual picking of your actions is really good. I think you get like six actions, and there's the action board is a pyramid itself, and you have to pick from one of each level. It makes it strategic. You can't do everything you want because you know you have to pick that top level. And like I said, the actual winning of the game, it goes by quick because every battle you win gives you one victory point. Every church that you own, they're not called churches, can't remember what they're called off the top of my head, gets you one victory point. Every two churches you own by the end of the round gets you one permanent victory point. There is always a struggle in this game. There's always a, we've got to hurry because the game is going to end. If I don't make a move, I'm going to lose. And that's beautiful.
Okay. I know I'm not going to win, but he stinks and I hate him. Anyway, the miniatures in Kemet are about the same as in Cichlides. I don't know why he even brought that up. It's not like Kemet's, they're made by the same people. So like the art's the same. The miniatures are like the same. Everything's around the same within in that thing. I would say the theme in Cichlides is obviously better. Greek gods are better than Egyptian gods. He could name two Egyptian gods. I don't even know if those were real. He just made up random names. He was like Kemet and something else. Okay, that's cool.
Skeeter or something.
Skeeter, yeah. Okay, the guy from Saved by the Bell.
The guy from Doug Funny.
Yeah. So anyway, that is what it is. I would just say the gameplay in Cichlides, it just has a little better gameplay to me. In Kemet, there's, like I said, there's just not that surprise and there's just not that moment where you don't know what's going to happen. In Cichlides, you have that that moment where you're getting bidded and you're like, man, I really need this Greek god, but Corey could outbid me and that I don't have enough money. I'm screwed. And it's just that tense moment in when you're bidding on that Greek god and someone outbids you is just pretty fun. And it's hard to beat. And I just, in Kemet, I just never had that tense moment where I'm like, ah, because either your army's strong or it's not strong and you know you're going to lose or you know you're going to win. It's just, and I just always felt that in Kemet. But that's all I have to say.
All right. Corey looks disgusted, but thank you for your final statement.
You can only have 10 people out on the board at one time in Kemet and separate into two armies. Your armies are never too big to get defeated.
But there's never enough cards. Beautiful system. What's like the highest card you can have? Like four. Five or something?
Four.
So but literally, if you're down three to one, you're always going to lose. And you always know you're going to lose, most likely.
No, because it's a mind game. Because, Joe, if you're up 4-2, you don't have to play your four card. You can play your one card because they know you have your four card. And now they'll just use a card that kills your troops instead of trying to win the match. So in that regard, you play your shield card because you want to save your troops. But guess what? I actually did play my four, and I actually won the battle. Bam.
Plus, it brilliant. Always has that. It's always has that tight war cliche of always someone can team up on you. And Corey, even he
trust
is.
Me, I know that
man,
better than anyone.
Man, this I know sucks. That better. I got teamed up on in this game, and I know that better than I felt anyone. Like never had that where you can team up on somebody. Maybe you can.
Let's stop. Judge, take control. Let's stop it here. Okay. He was actually making good points there at the end. So
he was making really good
for the one time.
I feel like Joe was making a little bit of a comeback there. So he made it a little more even. Okay.
I mean, he was just rambling for about an hour and a half, so it gave me a lot of time to think. So
all right. I'm
rambling on about garbage points. Oh, the miniatures are so much better. The miniatures are the exact same in both games. I said games. They're nice.
Order.
They're the exact same.
Objection, Order. Honor.
They're
objection.
Made by the same person.
No.
All right.
No.
I'm the honor. You can't tell me no. All right. I like both of these games a lot. Both of these games, I believe, made my top 20. I really like the Greek gods. I'm a huge fan of the Greek mythology, so that's a huge plus for me. I really do like the bidding system as well in that game. Kemen, also, I really like the war aspect. I do like the pyramid scheme and all that. They're both really fun games. I would play both of them any
day.
There's
also War and Cyclades, a little bit of War.
There is also War and Cyclades. Okay.
And it's probably just as good as Kemet.
Okay.
But, hold him in contempt, dude. Your honor. Dude, your honor.
The winner of this argument is Kemet.
Your honor, thank you so much.
Joe, you gave a good argument at the end. I think you just faltered at the beginning.
Yep, my beginning, my argument.
I would love a after the show talk right here, or after the court talk right now. I just want to say, Cyclades is a great game. If you can have both in your collection, get both in your collection for sure. I love Cyclades, so much fun. It might be better than Kemet. I don't know.
I think the bidding aspect
Cyclades has.
I think the bidding aspect of Cyclades is pretty cool. And it makes you feel like you're really, you know, because each of the god gives you different power.
Oh,
like
the
Poseidon will let you move your ships.
Well, the cool part about those is, like, each god will only give you one power.
Right.
That's the cool part. So if you don't get Poseidon, you literally can't move your ships. Or if you don't get Odin, you can't do...
Yeah, that's that tense moment where you're like, man, if this guy outbids me, I'm literally screwed for this round. I'm going to have to get... What's that guy in the bottom?
Yeah, it gives you a discount card.
Yeah, nothing. Yeah, so it's like, I'm screwed with this guy. But yeah, both games are really good. I mean, you can't go wrong with any of them.
So yeah, to me, Cyclades gives the themes good because you really feel like you're asking these gods for help because you can't do these things without the gods, you know?
Yeah.
If you don't bid on Ares, you're not getting any more troops. So, but there is kind of a part where people can kind of screw you over in there, too. Oh, I don't like Corey. I'm not bidding him just because I don't like him.
True. So, I mean, there's any game.
Any game. But I think, like Corey said, they're both great games. If you have a chance to get both of them, I would highly recommend it. And Cyclades, I still kind of want that expansion for it just to see. Yeah. So it's super expensive, though. It's pretty much a whole new board game. But yeah, but yeah, if you got money to get both, I would recommend both of them in your collection.
Is there a third game? What's that?
Yeah, I was just about to ask you before we move on. Do you guys have any interest in the third game? It's called Inish. It's like Irish folklore.
Do they have the best gods too, Corey?
I don't think they do. I think it's more of an area control game. Do you guys have any interest in that?
I mean, I wouldn't mind trying. I don't know much about it. When I was researching Cyclades, they had like top three on what was the best on each part, and they kind of the other game kind of won a couple of the categories. So, I mean, I wouldn't mind trying it because I mean Cyclades is a great game and Kemet's a pretty good game too. So I mean, I wouldn't mind trying it.
All right, maybe that'll be the first one where we pull our money together and actually.
Is that one newer than both of them? I think it's the newest one?
Out of the three. Yeah, but it's still pretty old, I think. You know, probably at this point. You know,
Cyclades is like was made in like 2009, wasn't it? Or 2007?
Yeah, I think it's easily over 5 years old inish. Yeah, for sure. So
yeah.
But thank you for the victory, Your Honor. I really appreciate it.
I don't like you, but man, whatever. I know other choice.
I'm undefeated, by the way, in Meeples Court.
Yeah, you don't got to me and Cody suck.
That's because Joe just faltered at the beginning of the argument.
Yeah, I'm the Phoenix Wright of Meeple's Court.
Well, next time I'll be prepared.
All right.
Yeah, you'll be prepared against me, of course. You'll be coming out with great points.
We'll have to figure out which game who's going to be the judge next. We can probably just go in order again if you want, but
that's fine.
All right, gentlemen, we've teased this game enough. We've mentioned it a few times already. We're going to talk about our game of the month, and it is a co-op game, Spirit Island. Now, Code, you read the rules for this. You watched the video. You probably have the best idea about how this game works. I think me and Joey are still trying to wrap our brains around how it works. So if you could give us a small overview of it, that would be wonderful.
Okay, awesome. This game is 1 to 4 players. Basically, what you're doing is there's a board. It's a kind of a circular board. It's of an island, hence the name Spirit Island. What you do is you all pick a spirit before the game, and they each have like difficulties of how hard they are. And then basically what the whole game is you're protecting the island's natives, which are called the Dahans or something like that. You're protecting them from the outsiders. So what you do is you each get, like I said, a spirit, and you get these little discs, and there's discs placed throughout the board, and then you get a set of cards, and you basically work as a team, and you got to protect these guys, you got to fight off the intruders, and you just protect them from the outsiders, and they get their own set of moves too, so you don't really know, I mean, you know what they're going to do, so you can prepare ahead of time, but what makes the game hard is that they can totally overrun you, in our case, in very short time. So that's basically the game in a nutshell. You, like I said, you get cards. You can upgrade your cards to different cards to make your guy a little more powerful. Your spirit each has their own little power too, which makes it cool. Like the spirit I had, if you had two discs, which if you have two discs in one spot, it becomes a sacred land. So if my guy had two discs and one land, then I got three defense. But Corey's guy had something different. Joey's guy had something different. So the game is you kind of want to pick a good group of spirits where you can have a good attack, a good defense, good, you know, fear. The way you win the game is you have to scare the intruders off the island. And by doing that, you got to kill their towns and cities. So once you do that a number of times, you move enough fear down and you get a fear card, which helps you later on in the game. The way the invaders win is they either kill one of the spirits fully. They can either what were the other ways they can win? Forgetting.
I do not remember.
They won pretty easily. I don't
know.
The Blight.
Oh, the Blight. They can win with the Blight.
That's how they beat us.
Yes, they can win with the Blight, or their all their explorer cards can get off the board. So yeah, like I said, it's 1 to 4 players. We played with 3, and that's basically, like I said, the game in the nutshell. What'd you guys think about the game?
Yes, let's jump into gameplay. Code, you said it was card-based, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which I found the gameplay pretty fun. The cards were confusing when you've never played it before, and you're kind of trying to figure out what all these little symbols are and what exactly things do. But once you actually knew what the cards did and everything, the cards were fun. You know, the powers were cool. It did seem like there was a lot of teamwork between the spirits, but it wasn't that issue we had with Pandemic where there was a lot of quarterbacking, because you're so focused on your own cards and their abilities, and the game gets so overwhelming with enemies, you really don't have time to be like, hey, Joe, what's in your hand? This is what you should do. It was really like, okay, I got to focus on myself and really figure out my own best move while helping as many people as I can.
Yeah, the main thing in this game was obviously cooperative, and I feel like this game was really good with that. Like Corey said, it was you were so focused on your cards that you had no idea. Corey was just like, I can maybe take care of this area. And I was like, well, I'll take care of this area. And that's it. That's, you don't know how this guy's taking care of this area. Everybody was like, oh, I'll take care of this area. Meanwhile, you're just defending there. You're not even killing anybody. So it's like, you got to deal with that later in the game. But the cooperative aspect was definitely on like a Gloomhaven level. And Cody even mentioned it before we even played this game. It sounds like Gloomhaven. And a lot of it was like Gloomhaven. You're looking at the cards and you're playing the cards. And it's exactly kind of almost parallel to that game.
The speed and the slow, and that affects what how early you go in a turn.
Exactly. Or if
the enemies get to go before you.
And you're playing your cards, and then the bad guys are playing their cards. And it's definitely a type of game where you're thinking on the fly, and you're like, man. And it's, like Ori said, it's no quarterbacking at all. It's literally, you're so focused, and the game is not confusing, but it's so almost like high tech where you're just like thinking like, man, I don't even know what's going on, and I don't know how I'm going to stop these guys, but hopefully Corey's got my back, or hopefully Cody's got my back.
Yeah,
so the cooperative aspect is pretty good.
Yeah, I was going to say that there's a lot going on in the game. Like, it kind of can become overwhelming. To me, it kind of did, just because there's so much going on. You got to worry about what cards you have. You got to worry about protecting the island people. I mean, you can let them die, but it's definitely a major advantage if you have them on the board, because they can fight back. You got to worry about what land the enemies are going to attack next, which land they're going to explore next. So you got to – what I really like about this game is you got to plan for the time now, and you got to plan for the time in the future. So to me, we talked a lot during the game, but I feel like we could even talk more in depth exactly what we were going to do each turn, you know, to try to prevent, you know, them from over. We got overran so fast. I think we started bad in the game. Like, we could have played a lot better, I think, at the beginning. And I think a lot of talking in the game could have done that. Just like you said, there's so much. This game is really cooperative, which is good because it's a co-op game. So to me, it's just. It was overwhelming, but it's a lot of fun at the same time.
And the other great part about this game is it's a lot going on, but it's not confusing. A lot of times there's games where you're just like, man, there's a lot going on. I have no idea what I'm even doing. I picked this game up, like, right away. I was, like, in there. I knew what I had to do. I knew what was going on. And it's like Cody said, it's overwhelming, but it's not like it's, like, it's. I never was confused.
Yeah, I guess I should rephrase that. Like, I wasn't, like, physically or mentally, I wasn't overwhelmed. The actual enemy overwhelmed
me. That's the thing.
So much of the enemy, it was, but no, I felt like I was in complete control, you know, of what I could do. Like I said, at a certain point, it was like, well, we're just so overwhelmed with enemies that we can't stop it. But we had the cards. We knew what the cards did. It wasn't an issue of like, oh, man, I'm not sure what these do or how this works. Everything was clearly spelt out, and you got it. As soon as, I would say, after the first turn, we knew how the game worked. And Joe, like, you brought up a good point. This game was probably the best co-op in terms of discussion that I've ever played. You know, a lot of times you can be playing co-ops. You can be talking about your weekend or, hey, how you been? Like, this was game talk. This was, hey, I need help here. We need to do here. We need to worry about this later. Yeah, it was really well done in that regard.
Yeah, and even in Gloomhaven, sometimes you're still playing your own game, and you're like, I know what I'm doing. This game, the enemy is so good, they're kicking your butt the whole time, and they're just like so like, I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing, but the game is so hard where you're just like, man, this is impossible. There's no way we're going to win. And we started to pick it up a little bit at the end, but even then it was just like, it added a new layer. Oh, it's spawning a new enemy in 10 different areas now. So now we're screwed.
Yeah, that was the thing. It didn't get easier. It definitely, and it didn't even stay the same. It got harder as the game went on. Like, that was incredible to me. You know, you think, okay, I gained a few cards. I got, you know, some more, you know,
yeah, I felt like we were getting better. Energy.
But and the game was too. They were getting a lot better.
Yeah, for sure. No, for sure.
It's definitely a unique game because it's not like the bad guys aren't really attacking you. They're kind of attacking the land. So it's kind of something different, I guess. Like Gloomhaven, we talked about, they're actually attacking your physical character. In this game, they're attacking the people and the land. What your job is to do is to protect these people and protect the land before you get overran.
Yeah,
and
I was never worried about my guy dying or anything. Right. I was just worried about killing them so fast, but they spawn so fast. It's
right,
just,
like,
it's ridiculous.
Like you guys talked about, the game, I felt like we were never in control whatsoever, and we were struggling to stay afloat for turns and turns. And the game does make it harder because the game, the enemy's card starts at level 1, and then they get to level 2, and then level 3, they're all of a sudden attacking 2 lands at once instead of 1 land. So you have to think quick. You know, you have to get, I feel like in that game, you have to jump ahead, and then it's probably slowly starts to fall apart near the end, and then you hopefully just survive. But we didn't do that. So
yeah,
but
I think the beginning is what kind of hurt us, you know, and we haven't played it enough to know that, hey, we had a really bad start, you know. So
yeah.
After that start, it might have been all downhill where it's like, oh, we can't win, but it was still fun.
Yeah, there's one downfall I really didn't like, and it was the setting up the pieces when they explore and build. It just felt like there was a lot of pieces going out, and you had to, you know, it was a lot of thinking on where you need to build these, where you need to build this for the computer. So that, to me, got a little overwhelming, too, and it was like, I don't want to do this because I'm worried about how we're going to survive this. But really, that was kind of my only downfall in that part of the aspect.
Let's talk about those pieces real quick. What did you think of them? What do you think of the components? Are they really well done, manageable, kind of what?
Joe, you want to start or you want me to start?
They were all right. I don't know. Like, the white pieces were, like, almost, I think Cody's mentioned this before, about, like, they're almost, like, just army guys pieces, almost, like, the dudes, the soldier dudes, they were, like, just, they were okay. The board was nice. It was cardboard, but it was nice. It was fine. I forget what the other guys.
You got your own
like the city thing. Board. The city little thing was nice. They was okay. It was just they were plastic pieces. It's serviceable for the game. It is what it is. I mean, there's nothing really that stuck out to me. I felt
right. I kind of agree. I think the enemies pieces were so. I think they made them small because obviously, you know,
there's so many pieces
going on the board. So they had to make them small. I do like our boards, though. I think it, you know, clearly spells out what you can do on your turn, and you know what you get on your turn, and then the little cubes you get or the circles, discs. Those were all right made. To me, the components were nothing special, but I feel like they did good enough for the game. So.
Yeah, I'll say they were probably a little bit below average. The enemy pieces, not. You know, not good. Like you said, the little explorer guys and even the city and the towns were just real small, real, you know, not noticeable. You know, you don't put them on the board and you think, oh, wow, this is a city on the board. And, you know, your presence is a little disc. One of mine was super thin at one point for no reason. But the cards and the board were fine.
Yeah, I think I even mentioned this before. I kind of wish they would have made like a little mini for our guy. I think that would have been kind of cool.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, where's our guy at? And Cody was like, well, I don't even know. And he's like, oh, it's this little orange piece, little round piece. That's your guy. Oh, okay. That's lame. But I don't know how they would even have did that. But it would have been cool to have.
Right. It would have been. And the Dahan were like little wooden mushroom things.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's probably even the best part of the game. Best part
right,
of the
game. Right. But even that felt like mismatched, you know. I don't get it. That was like a wooden mushroom and like the enemies were like real, you know,
dudes.
yeah it was kind of weird, but like I said, I would say it's below average, but you know, passable, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, theme and art. What do you guys think about this theme? Code, you mentioned the overview. You are spirits protecting an island from settlers.
I kind of like the theme a lot, and I think they did a good job of hitting it on the head, where I guess you kind of feel like a spirit because you're really not on the board at all. You got your presence on the board, but you're not physically on the board, and you're trying to protect this land and these people. So I feel like, you know, they did a good job of, you know, portraying that you are this spirit. You're trying to scare these guys away from the island. So I think they did that good. And then the art of the game, I think they did a good job. The island looks okay. You know, it's not terrible, but I do like the – like I said, the cardboard pieces we get, I think they did a cool design for each little spirit that you can be. There was 8 different ones, so there's a good selection of, you know, easy, medium, hard difficulty for each spirit. So to me, I think they did a real good job of the art and whatever.
Theme.
Theme, yeah.
Yeah, I would agree. The theme, I did actually kind of feel myself getting into the game. Like, I felt bad when the Duhan died, or, you know what I mean? I felt, like, kind of into the game, actually. And I felt like, oh, man, I am a spirit. Because you don't have that little mini guy. Maybe I wouldn't have felt like that. So maybe that was a good thing on their part. And the art, I actually did really enjoy the art. I thought the map was actually better than average. I think it was pretty good. And then, like Cody said, the little cardboard board we have, that was, they made, like, everybody had their own little art guy, and my guy was pretty cool looking, and it was pretty good. I thought art and theme was pretty good.
Yeah, I really really enjoyed the theme of this game. You know, you don't ever hear, you know, you usually play the settlers that are, you know, taking this land and building up the cities, and you don't ever think about, well, you know what, eventually it's going to lead to pollution, and thousands of people are going to die, and people are going to get sick. Like, that's what the spirits were trying to stop here. And
yeah, at first I felt like the bad guy, and then, oh, well,
no, you're the good guy. Yeah, exactly. Like, these people are, you know, going to do bad things to this island eventually, so you're trying to stop them, and that's really unique. And yeah, you definitely felt it. You know, you saw these guys coming out there and settling different areas of the map, and yeah, Joe, like you had just brought up, like, yeah, we didn't have a piece, and that almost felt thematic itself. You know, you're all around the island at all times, and you're trying to stop these people. So, yeah, theme was really well done, and the art, pretty good. You know, the like you said, the board with your actual spirit on there, really good drawn art. The cards all had unique artwork on it that looked really good. So, yeah, no issues with those. That was kind of a high point for me.
Yeah, I think they did a good job, too, on the actual playing board, of making it easy to know, like, where each troop's going to go. Like, if he's going to the jungle, they colored it green, you know? You know, with the jungle. You know, yeah. Water.
I mean, the colors are blue. Really nice. I feel like the boar was actually
It's very good. Bright. It's very, not obnoxious bright, but, like, it pops almost.
And it went with the theme, like, Spirit Island. It's a bunch of colors.
Yeah, and it's not, the boar was nice because, like you said, Ko, the jungle was green, obviously, but there wasn't, like, too much detail to, like, muddle up, you know, what you're looking at. It was easy to see.
Yep, they kept it simple, and that was
it. All right, guys. This one is, I feel like, a tough one to talk about for co-op games, but longevity. What are you guys feeling about? Are you going to play this for a long time, or even if could people play this for a long time? Code?
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
I do like this game. I think we could play it for a while. It's definitely challenging, so it makes me want to go back and try to beat these guys. You know, they're taking over our island. I don't like it. but I like how they give you, like I said, 8 spirits. So I feel like you can play each spirit once and still feel like it's a fresh new game because they all got different powers. You know, like I said, the complexity on each of them is different. So I feel like you can go back multiple times, feel like it's a whole different game, and get, you know, I feel like we could play it for a while.
Yeah, I have a little bit different take on it. I don't know. We haven't played the scenarios yet. I think Cody mentioned scenarios. So I can't exactly say how I feel about it, but I feel like I just want to play this one more time and win. And then I don't know if I can ever, I don't ever want to play it again. Not that I don't like the, I like the game. I really enjoy the game. Like, the game's super hard, and that makes me even want to come back more and just kick the freaking settlers' butt. But I feel like a lot of the time it's going to be like the same game. I don't know if it could be different. I don't, because even the cards are like, you're going to be getting the same, a lot of the minor powers are the same. Not the same, but you're going to be getting the same minor power a lot, the same major power a lot. And it's just, I don't know. I just want to kind of come back and kick their butt. And maybe if we play a scenario, maybe it will change my mind. And I feel like it's not Gloomhaven where you're building up your guy. You're playing the same guy every time. And there are different creatures in the game where you can play different guys, but I don't know. That's how I feel. Maybe if I play the scenarios, maybe I would change my mind, but I don't. I just kind of want to play one more time, beat them, and then maybe I'm done.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I think that comes back to our co-op discussion, and I feel like this is one of the major flaws that we have with it. When we beat a co-op game, we feel like the game is done. We've won. you know, because, well, me and Cody are big video gamers, and Joe, you play video games. You know, when you beat a story, we don't generally go back to it. We think, okay, hey, we finished this. Now, thankfully, Spirit Island is a very tough game, so that could lead two or three more times, you know. Hopefully, it would have a progression where the next time we play, we get a little bit closer or we feel a lot better, and it's like, man, we could have had it if we didn't make these mistakes. But I also feel like once we beat the game, it's like, we've finished this game. So how does that like deal with longevity? Code, there's a lot of different spirits, like you said. I'm leaning more towards Joey's side, though, where like, if I beat the game, yeah, I'm done with it. You know, a lot of the co-op games that I do enjoy, like I said, Mechs vs. Minions, that has a campaign. It has 9 or 10 missions in it. So, yeah, I feel compelled, even though I won Mission 1, to play Mission 2, play Mission 3, and play Mission 4. This one, I feel like it's going to have a low longevity for me. Does it make it a bad game? No, I had a lot of fun with it. It was very tough. But I don't know if it'll be, you know, a game that in a year from now, it's like, hey, let's pop it out just to have fun with it. You can, but I don't know if that's what we'll do.
Yeah, like I said, it might take us a while to beat this game. And like I said, I really want to come back and really, really try harder to beat this game. But it's just like, after we beat it, I don't know if I'm going to want to play it. I don't. It's just one of those things. Corey hit it right in the head. Just like, if once you beat a game, I might be done with it.
Well, why don't you like kind of level that into your final thoughts, Joe? Let us know what your final thoughts are, recommendations, and like a score.
No, I like the game. The game is super difficult. It's got great cooperative. Just the longevity with me. I think maybe this is what Corey said. Cooperative games, once you beat that game, if they don't have ways to build up your character or more missions, I don't know if you want to keep playing this game, because I feel like the game's going to be the same. So that's my final thoughts. I would recommend this game if you don't mind. If you do like cooperative games, you're really a big fan of cooperative games, I would say go for it, because this is a great cooperative game. My score, I would have to say, is a 7. I give it a 7. It's a good game, really good game, but just the longevity is, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to want to play this game more.
Cody, hit us with your final thoughts, man.
I really like the game, and I'm surprised. I mean, I know you guys like the game. I feel like we could play it for a while. But yeah, like Joey said, if you love if you like co-op games and you don't mind playing it, I definitely recommend it. It's definitely a tough one. You'll find it to be a challenge. But yeah, I don't got much to say. I think we said it all for this game. I would give it an 8.
Okay, that's pretty high. That's a good score.
It reminded me a lot of Gloomhaven.
Right, so yeah.
No, I mean, it was definitely a Gloomhaven type game. I would just rather play Gloomhaven, I think.
I hear what you guys are saying.
Especially after we beat it. Once we beat it, I'm like, eh. Because I'm not building up my character or nothing. So it's like, I don't have nothing else. I guess I can play a different character, but there's only so many characters.
But if you had your spirit and you can maybe unlock new powers or something for that spirit.
If that was part of the game, I would definitely want to play this game more, because the gameplay is great. And the cooperative is great, but it's just, I'm not building up anything else. Once I beat it, it's done. I'm done with it.
The computer had the same moves.
Yeah, exactly. And even
it's
going to
be the same, like feel the same, unlike Gloomhaven, where, like you said, you're playing
different computers every time. You're playing different people all the time. This game, you're playing the same exact person. You're playing the same exact computer. But anyway, Corey, go ahead.
All right, on to the next segment.
Yeah.
Hello and welcome.
So I just mentioned, you know, I like to beat a game and then move on to another game. That's how I feel. And with co-op, you know, it's like a lot like video game story modes where, you know, I beat it, I move on. But not everyone feels like I feel. You know, a lot of people like to play the story multiple times because they just enjoy playing it. And I feel like that's a majority of board gamers. They just enjoy playing something. So even if they beat Spirit Island, while there might not be a lot of different things from the enemy, the things that the enemy does do is just fun to try to defend, and your spirit is fun to attack with. And, you know, so yes, I think a couple more times and I'll be done, but I do think it's a good game, and I'm giving it a 7 as well. And I do want to play it.
I have a question. Do you think this will stop us from buying more co-op games due to the fact where we may only want to play it, you know, a couple times and then shelve it?
I mean, you say stop us from buying co-op games. Who's been buying co-op games out of us?
Well, I don't know, but like if you
I mean
if
we
you
really,
hear
we
about
really
a good co-op game, would you be less likely to buy it because you know A, we don't like it, and then B, like, and we only might get a few plays out of it because of this reason.
It's tough. You know, I'm thinking, like I said, I mentioned The Crew and I mentioned Mechs vs. Minions. Both those have campaigns. We mentioned The Mind. I think we haven't played The Mind since we beat it. You know, we did beat The Mind. You know, we were able to get to 100 and then we haven't played it because we felt like it was finished. So I don't know. Spirit Island's a tough one.
The thing is, but I'm not even mad that we bought. I'm not like mad that we bought this game. I really like this game. I would buy it again. It's a good game. I definitely want to. It's challenging me. I want to beat it. Like, it's like it keeps me up at night. I want to beat it. I want to beat the freaking Settlers, man.
No, I hear what you're saying. I just think like more so like I think would be a little more hesitant because like. We play like worker placement games. We're like, okay, whatever. We like worker placement. We'll buy it, no problem, if it's a good game. But a co-op
game,
we might be more
like. What's the difference? Like for Joe, what's the difference if we play, Western Legends and you beat everybody? Is it just like the variable of like the human opponent? You know, like what's Corey gonna do? How's he gonna take the strategy? What's Cody gonna do?
Unpredictability for it.
Well,
is probably
it's because,
what keeps him going.
Because the computer's not gonna talk back to me and be like, man, I can beat you. You know what I mean? Okay. Like, right. Cody, if I beat Cody, Cody's going to be like, well, if we play next time, I'm going to win. The computer can't do that. So I'm not – it's like Cody said, with right way back in the discussion about the cooperative type games, we're so competitive that we want
to – It takes it away.
It takes it away. When you're beating the computer, it takes it away. It doesn't matter. The computer can't talk back to you. But
right.
Corey, you can talk back to me. Man, I'm going to beat you next time. I'm telling you. Okay, we'll see. Let's play.
But I can see where you're coming from in your point where this game is so difficult that we will feel some, you know, feel happy once we beat this game.
Oh, I'm going to be really excited when we beat it, if we ever beat it. I mean, this game might be so longevity that it might be so hard that it might take us 30 plays to beat it.
The most game
we've ever played. But after that 30th play, I'm going to be done with it, probably.
So I say, to finish this off, yes, when I beat it, I think I'll be done. But if anyone were to ever come to me and say, hey, I want to play Spirit Island, I would gladly be like, yeah, cool, let's pop it out, you know?
Right. You know, so just with us
or
three.
Or Lindsay wanted to play. Even if one of you two said again, you know, I'm really getting the itch to play that again. I'd be like, yeah, sure, let's do it. So that's kind of how I feel about that.
This actual discussion is kind of what's going to lead into my podium, another little tidbit.
It's probably the
most disappointing.
Spirit Island.
No. I was not disappointed with this game. This game was good.
Let's start heading towards the podium, and in the little pit stop that we got to make is the digital minute with Joseph. If he has one, he's looking around. Joey, do you have one, buddy?
Yeah, I got one. It's going to be probably 35 seconds.
Really? Okay, wow.
Your
time starts now.
Okay. A couple of months ago, we started playing Catan in the board game, and I kind of liked it. I'm like, maybe I'll try to look for it online. And I found it online, and there's two different Catans. There's Catan Universe, which I tried that one. I didn't like as much. And then there's just Catan Settlers. Catan Settlers, it was a free game, actually. So I downloaded it. It was fun. And they got computers. You can, and there's like six or seven maps you can play, and there's a bunch of different maps, and then you can play online. I have not played online yet, so I don't know how that is, but it's Catan's Catan, man. It's a fun game. You roll dice, it's luck, and you're beating the computers, and sometimes the computers are really hard, and they're actually kicking my butt. So I played a lot back in the day, and some of the game, there's some maps you can buy, and I just felt like the maps were really expensive. Like for all of the maps, it's like $9.99, and I'm just never going to pay $9.99 for all the maps. But some of them are like $3.99. But Catan Settlers.
That was about a minute.
That was our closest we've ever been. That was a minute 08. So nice job.
I was like 50 seconds last round.
And we are over an hour now. So let's just jump right into the podium. The podium is the segment where we do a top three. We give a bronze medal. We give a silver medal. And we give a gold medal to certain board games that fit our topic. And this month we're doing our most disappointed games. So feel like that's two negative podiums in a row. Yeah.
We'll get, yeah, maybe. Yeah, I don't, we gotta I go. What we was the last one?
I think it was games we hated. Oh, overrated. No, we did overrated games.
We're just trying to protect the people from buying bad board games.
They were trying to protect the people. We'll do a positive one next month, I promise. But most disappointing games, usually I go Cody, Joey, myself. So let's just keep that up. Code, what is your bronze medal game and most disappointing?
This isn't just because of it being a bad game. We honestly didn't even touch this game. And that's the reason why I'm disappointed. It's The Scent. I don't know if you remember. I'm just highly disappointed because A, it was an expensive game, and B, I was so excited to play it, and we just never got around to it. So
I think we tried to, and it was just like too hard.
It was very early in our gaming.
It was too much for us at the beginning.
So to me, I would have really loved it. It's, I mean, we got Gloomhaven now, but you know, that would have been the first time we played a game like that. Dungeon Crawl, and I was excited. And we just never got to it. So it's more disappointing in my heart than it being a disappointing board game.
I do like that pick a lot, though. And yeah, let's give up props for us because we jumped right into the board game hobby. We did not play around. It was like Fury of Dracula. And then we just kept going to heavy, heavy, heavy games. And we never looked back. And so
we really wanted to be Dungeons and Dragons people, but we don't have enough time, I guess, or something.
Right.
We can ask Uncle Ron. We got to throw an Uncle Ron. What's the problem here?
Yeah, he's in every episode.
He's got to be in every episode.
Joe, do you have your bronze pick?
Okay, so sticking with the theme of co-op, the reason this one is most disappointing is my bronze most disappointing because the first time I played it, I loved it. I loved it. And I think it goes with that theme of once you beat it, you're kind of done.
And, I know what game's coming. Yep.
my bronze is Mountains of Madness. I don't know if you guys are surprised about that, but
I'm not.
The first time I played it, I don't know top if it was 10. Just it was top 10. It was so fun. It was just that great. And then the second time I played it, it was so eh.
It lost everything.
It lost everything. Everything I had in the fun, it just lost it. And maybe it was because we beat it and it was just nothing really changed.
Yeah,
That might be it. That might literally what we just talked about with Spirit Island, that might be the thing with because Mountains of Madness didn't have a campaign or nothing. It's just cooperative. Once you beat it, you're doing the same thing. And that's what it was. And it was just that's why it was disappointing to me.
Mountains of Madness is a good pick because it's a unique game because you're actually physically doing things to
yourself. And it's just weird. It's just weird because the first time I played it, I just like we said, it was just
That might be like the king of like first time plays because I really love the game.
It was just like top 10. Everybody was like, whoa, I can't believe you put on top 10. The second time we played it, was like
it's because it was top 10 anymore. It was such a unique game. That we never even thought board games are out like that. You
it,
know?
Was it was hilarious. So
yeah was, no, for sure.
Yeah. My bronze medal one is a game I was super excited about. It got so much hype. People love this game. It is like on the top of some, you know, a lot of the famous YouTubers list, you know, Tom Vassell and stuff like that. Chronicles of Crime. Chronicles of Crime is like a detective game. You know, you have all these cards and you take a case. And it fits, and you're playing through your phone and looking and trying to get evidence. And I don't know what it is about this. It's that co-op thing, and it's detective games are not my bag, I guess. I bought it, very excited, played it, thought it was fine. Never gone back to it. Have very little interest in going back to it. Don't know why. It's just those aren't my type of games. And to be that excited about it and hear all the hype when it came out, and seeing it in the board game shop and buying it and like, oh, let's get this home and play it. Yeah, it just was something that I was not excited about.
Yeah, that was a weird one. I played it too with my wife. I was with you. It was weird. Just I love crime games and it just was weird. I don't know.
It's like a really great game. People love it, you know, and I understand that. It's just, I don't know. Something's wrong with me.
Yeah. No, I don't think anything's wrong with you. I just I thought the same thing, because even you were like, yeah, people love it, and I'm just like, and I played it. I'm like, I don't really want to play it again. I don't even beat it. I think it was just I'm done. Right. I don't want to play it.
I got halfway through the case, and I'm like, this is getting a lot here. Yeah. I end up taking like a
guess. Yeah.
I don't know. I just yeah. Code, yeah. Hit us with your silver, buddy.
All right. I absolutely hate this game.
Oh.
I cannot stand this game. It is Whitehall.
Nah.
Really? Yes.
Really?
Okay. The reason I'm disappointed with it is because we all love Fury of Dracula. Huh?
It exists. That's why you're disappointed?
Yes. Okay. This game, I've never... Board games are supposed to be what? What are board games supposed to be? Fun?
Fun.
Exciting?
Yes,
I know. You know, what other? Any good emotion you can think of is what board games... This game made me so stressful. I literally don't ever want to play this game ever again in my whole entire life. Just, I can't even remember who the bad guy is. Whatever. I hate this game. I was the bad guy, and you're getting followed around, and any second you can get caught, I was just so stressed. I thought it was going to be a good game because we love Fury of Dracula, so, you know, I was excited to play it, but... To me, just terrible. Too stressful. Disappointing.
Yes.
I like unsatisfied.
That game. I like that game too. So I don't think I'm disappointed.
Joey?
Okay. My silver medal. I think this is like a product of you guys maybe overhyping this game. And then it was a product of the theme. We never really found until the one game we had, but the racing game, like a great racing game. We haven't found it. And then when you guys told me about this game, I was like, man, this sounds amazing. A board game that has racing in it. It sounds amazing. And then when we played it, it was just, game. Eh. And it's Formula D. My silver is Formula D.
Okay.
I don't know what it is. I didn't like it. I don't know. It just was weird. Disappointing.
I like that game.
I think you guys overhyped it, and I just, eh. I didn't like
yeah, it. I mean, I got pretty excited for it. I don't love the game.
Because, I mean, what's a disappointing game? You get so, you're excited for it, and then you're disappointed. It.
Yeah.
And it just didn't live up to it. I thought, what's that one, Downforce? I think Downforce is like 10 times the game of that.
Yeah, it is. Formula G it's not a great game. It's just, it's one of those games that you can kind of like get excited for, I guess, when you get big roles. But yeah, I don't think it's a great game.
See, I'm not a huge fan of Downforce. It's not on the list, but...
All right, well, I'm just going to go so you don't say merch that name. yeah, so my silver medal goes to... we all love the Resistance, don't we? As like a deduction game. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we do. And this person made a game called Coup that is like... so close to Resistance, you know, the deduction game that we so much love. And Coup is not a good game. I don't know what it was. We've tried multiple times to play it, and there's just no tension. There's no excitement. It's just like a card game where you're kind of guessing if someone's, like, putting down different, you know, a person than they actually say they are. It wasn't good, in my opinion. And to have a game like the Resistance and finally go and buy Coup, like, hey, they made the same game. Can't wait to play it. Nah, very disappointed with that one. Not a good time.
I agree. It wasn't that good.
Code.
All right.
Gold medal.
All right. I'm really disappointed in this game. I'm telling you. I passed up buying Cyclades for this game. Do you know which game it is, Corey?
I thought you passed up buying Tricarion for it.
Maybe I did.
Yeah, I know what game this is. It was the worst $80 you spent.
Yeah, it was. Fireball, what was it called? Fireball Island? I don't even know.
Yeah.
All right. I was excited to play this game. It looked awesome. It had a cool volcano. And when I went to buy this game, the guy said, oh, this game's really fun. So I'm like, cool. You know, this game's going to be really fun. This is like one of the kiddish games I've ever played in my life.
It's literally a kid's game.
Yes, okay, but for $80,
yeah,
that's a heavy price tag. I could have bought a lot better games with this. It's just simple. It's really not that fun. You know, the pieces are kind of, they feel cheap. There's nothing really great about this game. Don't buy this game. It's saving you money. $80, highly disappointed.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than spending your own money on a game. I know Corey buys a lot of games and he probably gets disappointed with them. But yes, me and you don't buy a lot of games. So it's like when you finally buy that game and it's like horrible, you get really ticked. You get really ticked. And that leads me to my gold. My gold, usually when I buy a game, I do a lot of research on it and I just, it actually turned out pretty good. This game I did not do a lot of research on. I just know it was like Catan, and Catan's a decent game, but this is worse than Catan. So if it's worse than Catan, oh God. And I'm talking about Foodies. I didn't even open the rest of this game. I played it once and I wanted to literally sell it back the same exact day. I put it on Facebook Marketplace. That's how bad I hated this game. I don't know what it was. It was so disappointing. And I don't like it. I still want to sell it. I still will trade it.
I feel bad for you because me and Cody definitely remember the day you bought it.
I was so excited for it. I'm like, yeah.
And then an hour later, you're like, nah, guys, it ain't.
Oh, by the way, it's on eBay. You guys want to pick it up.
Yeah, that's sad because, like you said, you guys don't buy as many games as I do. So if I buy a game, I'm like,
oh, at least yours was a little cheaper than how much was Foodies?
40, I think it was like 40, 45. So, I mean, it was cheap. It was fine. I think that's why it was so cheap, though.
You could have got a lot of better games at $40. So.
I mean, usually when I buy games, they turn out pretty good. And I actually am more biased when I buy my games. It's like, yeah, I like this game more than Corey's game because I bought it. You know what I mean? Yeah. I bought this game, so I like it more than Corey's game. But this game, no, I did not like this game. I'm still looking for a buyer.
Way to be honest about it.
15 bucks, $7, I don't even care. $3, whatever.
A shoelace.
All right, so my goal is, I told you I wouldn't put Dead of Winter on this list, and that's true. I did not, but I did put Flick 'Em Up, Dead of Winter. Now, I don't know. I've been looking for a dexterity game for a long time. I'd like to have a game of like every genre, you know, so I could try it out, just see if I like it. And I really wanted Flick 'Em Up. Couldn't find it for the life of me. And then I found Flick 'Em Up Dead of Winter at the board game shop. And looking it up, it looked just as good as regular Flick 'Em Up and better because it had like a campaign where you're fighting zombies and there was all this cool stuff and you're using different weapons and you flick them. And I think we played half a game of this. And the whole thing started even before the game was even played. There was 1,000 stickers I had to put on every single character. The setup for the board was ginormous, and it took so much time. And by the time we actually got the board game out, and it was just flicking. It was literally just me flicking my finger at something. It was like all the enjoyment was out of my soul. I don't know what happened. It was, I wanted it so bad. It sounded so cool. I'm still looking. I don't think we even have a dexterity game, do we?
No, I don't think so.
No. I just seen one. Hang out. At Meijer, it's like Space Invaders.
What about Ice Cool?
Oh, Ice Cool. Yeah, that kind of stinks too. It's okay. I don't know. I'm still looking for
that. I kind of like that game.
It's fine.
I kind of like that game too.
It's fine. It's fine.
Corey has no good taste in board games, let me tell you.
I'm just disappointed, okay? I don't know what I'm expecting. I guess story time here. Me, Cody, and Joey, back when we were younger, invented a game called the Card Game. And it was flicking cards on a game board to the edge. And we really loved it. And I'm just looking for that kind of
feeling. Why don't you just make the card game?
We can make the card game.
The card game is just flicking cards on a board. Like, we can just do that at home.
Why don't you make it where you get certain points for knocking in certain spaces? We're coming up with our own board game right here.
I get that. I'm just...
Yeah, limited edition Corey Carr when you pre-order it.
Corey Carr. I was just disappointed with that one. Okay, guys. And that was my podium. That was our podium. Which leads us to the end of the episode, I do believe. There is one more topic that we have to get through. Code, you're usually pretty good at this. What's the last topic?
Wheel of Destiny.
No, Joe.
That was actually pretty good. But Joe, no, it's actually the Wheel there of Destiny.
Yeah, we do it. Yeah. So Wheel of Destiny.
Cody was actually pretty good that time.
Is where we have our topic picked for us for next month, because we really don't know what to, you know, put ourselves. So we made six topics. We're going to spin the wheel, whatever it lands on. That's what we're going to talk about next month. Right now we have Legacy, which has been on there since the beginning. Please come up, Legacy. We have Gaming IPs wish list. We have our personal gaming evolution, art and theme, how important, the gaming length, and games we never got to love. So those are all our topics. I'm wishing for Legacy. I want to talk about it. More importantly, I want to play King's Dilemma, which we're waiting for the Legacy topic to actually play.
I'm going to say, what was the last one?
I want the IPs games one.
We never got to love.
Yes, that's the one
I want. I want the new one. I want the IPs one.
You know how many games I never got to love?
These are a lot of good topics. I feel like we got rid of all the trash ones early. So, all right, guys, can you see the board?
Art and theme's kind of trash.
Gaming length, what does that even mean?
Wait, what happened here? Oh, no.
Oh, guys. My. Can't we just do a pretend? No.
The spin is in the upper right corner.
All right, click the spin button. Nope. All right.
What's it land on? I can't see.
No.
Art and theme. Yay.
Art and theme. Well, enjoy.
I don't even
know
what that even means.
Enjoy another 5 minutes discussion next month.
Discussion.
Art and theme.
We love them.
We do love art and theme, guys, okay? I think this will be a great discussion. We're going to talk about our favorite art in games, our favorite themes.
It's going to be a good discussion.
I think it's going to be a great one. But that's it. Go on, Joe.
What's the game we're going to be? Are we going to link up?
Modern.
Game of the month.
Yeah, let's just do our whole show meeting right now while the tapes roll.
That's good.
Maybe Modern Art the Card Game. They have it.
What, you want me to spend more money?
Yes. And that was episode 5 of We the Meeple. Hello. Thank you guys again.
And welcome to We the Meeple.
Thank you guys again for tuning in. If you liked what you heard, check us out on BGG. We post there constantly. You can also check out Thoughts and Players Podcast, where we talk about games. You can hit me up through there, and I will let Joey and Cody know what's going on. But yeah, that's episode 5. Code, thank you so much for coming out.
It was an honor.
Joseph, thank you so much.
It was a privilege.
Okay, we do this every last Wednesday of the month. So please continue listening, and we appreciate it so much. Have a good month.